The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
We all settle for traditional retail sizes, but why? Why, I ask you? There's not five or six different shapes of people out there, but so many fashion lines act like it. Not Public Rec. That's right. 30 combination sizes and 4 different length options. These joggers will fit your body perfectly in all the right places. Public Rec rarely discounts, but right now they have an exclusive offer just for the Viafile listeners. Go to publicrec.com and use our code VIALL to receive 10% off. That's publicrec.com and use promo code VIALL for 10% off. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to excited and I can't say and an exciting new episode. Chrissy leaves us and I can't even say the word
and.
And
we lose our words.
Well, we have a great episode for you. It's an Ask Nick edition of the Vile Files with yours truly, Nick. I'm your host. We have a skeleton crew. We have the ladies, Allie and Amanda.
Did you just call us a skeleton crew?
That's so rude.
Not you two. It's just like isn't skeleton crew like less than a full team?
I think so. But this is like our new body, I guess, if we're going with this example.
God, we should we keep this intro? Is this like, hey... And just lean into the fact that, like, have a little fun.
The people deserve to know.
We want people to appreciate just what Chrissy brought to this team.
I need someone to go to Montana, find their newest park ranger, and send her back.
We have a great episode for you today and some great callers. Always send in your questions to asknick@castmedia.com, cast with a K. Your questions are very important for the show. We appreciate all our callers being so vulnerable with their stories, and they seem to find it helpful. We think so. And
totally.
Obviously, you guys enjoy listening, and we have some great callers for you today. This week, we have a great week lined up for you. On Wednesday, we have a fantastic episode with Rod Thill, whose rise to stardom via TikTok. He's like the anxiety guy. Like, he's like, I don't know. How does he describe himself?
It's like, isn't he like the like quintessential millennial?
Yeah, he's the quintessential millennial, like in the workspace. Like, he's really funny, great content. I'm actually, great interview with him. You will absolutely love it. If you suffer from anxiety, you like relatable, introspective guy, and really thoughtful discussion with Rod. So be sure to tune into that. Dating updates. You went on a date with a guy with a broken leg.
I did. I went on a date with a man with a broken leg, and it was a really good first date.
Can I ask?
Was it like a walking boot? Was it a crutches situation?
Oh, yeah. Like how recently did you break the leg?
This man is immobile. Like this. Like it was like I had to go to his house.
What a great way to like Netflix and chill on the first date.
I know, literally though. I was like, well, that's what I was thinking about. I was like, I feel like the precedent that's going to be set is like me just like driving to his, cause he's like, he can't really drive at this point. Like he is.
I got really one question.
Yes.
Did his broken leg increase your sympathy and your willingness to like, want to like make sure he had a great night? Like, were you turned on by the broken?
Did I want to be mommy? No.
Well, but I
say that not in a bad way. I think it's very, I think the natural, sometimes like a lot of people, so they want to be mommy.
It's a broken leg, you know, like, you know,
it's
what?
Like a caretaker thing. I think, if anything, I think it set the bar higher. Cause I don't want to feel, if I feel guilty for someone, if I feel bad for someone on a first date, then we're activating like a whole different, like, oh, niceness, obligation, people pleasing thing versus like, I want to be like more.
Anyway, so did good. Okay, so no.
So it was a good. So it was. Yeah, no, it was not an issue at all.
You had a good date.
Very good date.
How did it end? So you did hook up.
We did hook up. We did hook up
on your own terms, not because he had a broken leg.
No. Yeah. Well, it was. It was a limited option. There's like, it's nice because it's like a preseason game, you know?
Oh, you didn't get his best.
No, I just, not that I didn't get his best, but like obviously he had a broken leg. Like,
yeah,
I'm not
gonna...
Well, we didn't.
You guys were limited.
We hooked up, but we did not have sex, is what I will say.
Oh, okay.
So so stuff happened, but not P and V.
Because he's immobile.
He wasn't fully immobile.
You said he was immobile.
Well, he
seconds ago.
He's immobile in the sense that like leaving his house is not really an option. But he could move his body once, like when you're in a bed, you're like, you don't have to walk.
At any point in the hooking up, was he like, oh, my leg? You know, like, did you, you know what I'm saying? Where all of a sudden you guys moved and he was like, oh, nope, oh, the leg. Like,
no, I don't think so. But I do feel, I felt like I was scurrying around him. You know, like it was sort of like he's.
You were being very.
Oh, yeah, I was sure. Because I was like, he didn't have to say anything because I was like very, I was like, I am not going to hurt this guy's leg. Mm. That would be a nightmare.
And second date?
Hopefully. I don't know. It's like, I am actually like, I'm feeling kind of like, I can't.
Uh-oh.
The date itself, I thought was pretty phenomenal. And also I was like, you know, it was kind of late and I was like, oh, I should really head out. Like, I'm getting really tired. Like, I should drive home. And he was like, no, like stay over. So I ended up like staying over, which was nice. And I feel like you probably wouldn't have someone you hate stay over. But I'm also like.
Doesn't mean they want to.
Right, it's like it's unclear, and it's again, it's like it's very.
Why did you stay? Why didn't you leave?
Because I wanted to cuddle. I love cuddling.
Okay.
It's like, yeah, it was a very good first date, and like
you like
I
cuddling
don't...
with strangers.
Oh my god! In the middle, the way intimacy started on this date was we'd been talking, we were having an amazing conversation, super interesting, like very like really getting along well. We're like sitting across the table from one another, and then I was like. Will you draw on my back on the couch? And he was like, what? And I was like, can we move to the couch? And can we keep talking while you draw on my back?
Draw like...
Just like
of,
literally just like so, draw. Because I think it feels so lovely. I'm a huge fan. It's maybe like really throws people off. But like, I don't get why.
Physical touch, obviously.
Physical touch, obviously.
Up there.
But everybody, that's the thing. Everybody likes it. Everybody likes it to cuddle, I found in my experience. That
I am not a big cuddle with strangers kind of guy. I love to cuddle. I love physical touch. Strangers.
Well, it's not like a rando from the street. It's like someone that you've just like spent. I feel like to me, it's like a means of like you'd kiss someone.
I think cuddling is very intimate.
Yeah. It also depends on how you're cuddling, though. Like there's like intro level cuddling and then there's like the more.
Anyways, you chose this day because you like a good stranger cuddle.
I love a good stranger cuddle. I do.
And you haven't heard from him?
No, we sort of. I'm probably just in my head about it. Like we talked, like we have loose plans to see each other on Sunday.
I mean, he is dealing with a broken leg.
He does have an absolute broken leg.
All right.
But well. It's just like, I was the one who like reached out after. So I'm like, not the end of the world.
It's 2021.
Yeah. But it's also, so it's exactly, it's like, not that that's a bad thing that I reached out first, but also like, there's other dates where it's like you have a really good date and then
I just find it so fascinating
it's a
that
data point.
The most progressive of people can still want him to reach out first.
It's not so much of like a like, oh, the guy has to reach out so much as it is like
nice
knowing
he does.
No, but understanding that like because of the like whether I agree with him or not, there are gender roles. And so it's like knowing that he's also probably aware of those. And so that there is this added onus on men to initiate contact. And it doesn't
mean
it has to go that way. But
I think guys who are recognizing that gender roles exist and don't want to play into them are unsure about, you know what I'm saying? They might be like, oh, maybe I'll let her make the move because, you know, I'm just saying it's not as clear.
I just feel like when you have a really good time with someone, usually the follow-up is pretty quick.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's like, and I wasn't like jumping to like reach out to him. Like I kind of like waited a full day.
I think it's hard to get excited about a first date these days. And I think that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you're fine. Yeah. We'll see. To be determined.
TBD.
Allie, are you, how's your love life?
Oh, hello. Let me just bring this up to my height. I went on two dates this weekend. one of which was very successful because it was a Bumble BFF date. And I was obsessed with her. Not obsessed with her. That's too
awesome.
Forward.
I love that.
But she and I like really bonded over like a lot of things. Like we watched similar shows. She also agreed with Amelie and me.
Why do I find that heartwarming?
Like we went to a happy hour. It was great. Like she agrees with Amelie and I of like McDonald's Diet Cokes are superior. I was telling her how much I miss Dairy Queen. Like being from the Midwest, she's never had it. So we're going to go on like a Dairy Queen date. And she was like, let me know, like, if you like ever like are doing a Trader Joe's runs and like just don't want to go by yourself. I was like, I made a new friend.
I love that.
Yeah.
That is so wholesome.
That's so endearing.
Yeah.
What a value add. Well, we have such a great episode for you. Thank you, ladies, for the confessionals. Let's get to our callers.
What's your time with Nick? Let's ask Nick your sexy questions.
How's it going?
I'm Aaron. I'm 22 years old.
Hi, Aaron. How can I help?
Just a little bit of a backstory. Me and my boyfriend have been dating for 5 years now.
Okay. So you met in high school?
Yes. So we got together when we both turned 17. We're both 22. Long story short, everything was great. He is such a great guy. He is... just overall amazing. We started having issues back in November of 2020. We started having intimacy issues, and it started to like affect our relationship a little bit. It started to affect me, and because
could you explain what you mean by intimacy issues?
Before COVID happened, like we would never sleep over at each other's houses. I guess it's because more of like the respect of my family. And then when COVID happened, we started sleeping over at each other's houses, and it brought us closer and everything. And we did have like sex pretty frequent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was like too much for him or something, but towards the end of that year, just things started to get a little rough in our relationship, and we kind of just stopped having sex, and we both tried to work around that issue. There was just like a lot of anxiety around it. We tried to work around it because we're like, there's different ways to be intimate with each other. Whether it's just like spending quality time together.
But it just flat out stopped cold turkey?
Just for the moment. Yeah.
Did you guys made an active decision to like stop it?
Yes. Just because when it came to like, us wanting to have sex with each other, there was so much anxiety around it. We would either end up fighting or end up being upset with each other. So we were just kind of like, let's just tone it down, start over from the beginning, and just like go from there. Fast forward to like me going to school in the summer. I met this guy. He seemed like a really cool guy. We started to flirt with each other. I didn't like that. Because I was, of course, in a relationship, even though things were a little rocky, I didn't want to make things worse or anything like that. So, we were partnered to do two group projects together. Things evolved. My feelings for him kind of grew. We started talking a lot back and forth.
So was this a guy like in school, and your boyfriend doesn't go to the school, so you and your boyfriend were like a little bit long distance?
No, I'm sorry. So we both go to school together, me and my boyfriend. Both go to college.
Okay. So this guy was a guy at college that you met?
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. BetterHelp, that's right. For all you Ask Nick fans out there, you know we talk about mental health and therapy and the benefits of it. And there is no excuses to not get therapy if you're even considering it. You know, certainly not with BetterHelp. BetterHelp is making it easier to connect with a licensed mental health care professional from the comfort of your home. You don't even have to be at home. You could be on the road. You could be in a park because you could access it from your phone, your tablet, your computer. That's right. You can start commuting in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's a professional counseling done securely online. There is a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in your area. It doesn't matter if you have money problems, family problems, life problems, anxiety problems, literally anything you want to talk about. BetterHelp is there to align you with a healthcare professional that's perfect for your needs, and you can switch. If you don't like the therapist they give you, you can always change. Whatever makes you feel the most comfortable, that's why BetterHelp is there. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit their website and read their testimonies that are posted daily. That's right. Visit BetterHelp.com/ViaFiles. That's ViaLLFiles. That is BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and ViaFile listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/ViaFiles. Truly amazing what they're doing. Highly recommend it. If you've ever thought of it, now is the time to try BetterHelp. Obey. That's right. Obey, the premium digital fitness platform that brings the variety you crave, the instructors you love, the results you want, and the screen on a screen anytime, anywhere, with 15 class types such as HIIT, dance, cardio, yoga, sculpt, strength, and more. Obey has something for every mood, so you'll finally look forward to what you're looking for. And the best part is I highly believe in mixing it up. You know, you don't want to do the same thing over and over. Your body needs to be shocked, so to speak. Law of diminishing return when you do the same thing over and over. And the great thing about Obey is the variety that they have. And you can get a great workout within 10 minutes. There are literally thousands of no equipment classes that are available to you, and you can add resistance bands if you want. But the point is, you don't need to buy a bunch of equipment and weights to get started on Obey and get great results all at the same time. Visit obeyfitness.com. That is obefitness.com to start your free trial today, and use our code VIALL for 1 month free at Obey. Commit yourself this fall with Obey Fitness. Obey is offering ViaFiles listeners a free 1 month trial. Just visit obeyfitness.com. That is obefitness.com, and use the code VIALL.
So we just kind of hit it off well with some of the things we had in common. He had reached out to me because of the group project. He was like, "Hey, like, I'm making a group chat for the, you know, the group project that we're working on, like you and a couple of other members. If you ever want to like get together and study, like let me know, you know." And I was like, cool, like I don't mind.
So like this guy didn't know you had a boyfriend?
Yeah, so he didn't know that I had a boyfriend. So after like early on in our conversations, I did like tell him like, "Hey, like I do have a boyfriend," just so it could push him away, because usually that does happen, like guys tend to like push away, and I'm like happy about that. And then this guy kind of didn't. He was like, "Well, we're not doing anything wrong, we're just like talking."
Sure.
And I was like to me it felt wrong. So but we still stayed in contact because of school. Fast forward a few days, like 2 weeks, we were talking, and the conversations were getting a little bit more intense. I just pretty much told him, like, you know, I don't want to continue or entertain this anymore, just because, like, it's not right. It's not me. It's not who I am as a person. And he just started getting really upset with me. He was just like, "No, like, I really like you. I don't want to stop talking to you." And, I kind of felt bad, because I was like, "Well, it is what it is. Like, I'm in a relationship, and you need to find someone who will put you first and who will, just be there for you. I can't do that."
So where are we at now? And I guess what's your question? Cause it sounds like you're just like, what do you do in this situation? Like what are you struggling with?
Yeah, just hear the hard truth. He definitely decided to walk out of my life.
The new guy.
Yeah. He just
Where's the boyfriend in all this?
So he did find out that I was talking to someone else. He definitely did not take it well. We talked and we decided to make things work. I've just been trying to get my life back on track after the new guy because he definitely kind of...
Where are things with your boyfriend in terms of your sex life? And I mean, that's great. I mean, that's fine if you guys want to pause sex, you know, but it doesn't seem like it's, it seems at least on me, unclear to me, like why you guys even stopped having sex in the first place. Like what is it? Like, are you both, is it a religious thing from you guys? Like, I know you're both young. So, you know, like what is, it's fairly drastic to like be in a really long-term relationship to start being intimate and then just stop without really understanding why you stopped, without a, you know, and again, maybe it's sometimes it's like, hey, we're both religious and I feel guilty and I just want to keep doing this, fine. But you're shaking your head no, like it's not a religious thing.
No, I think we were just having, for me, I mean, maybe for him, like we were having too much sex that he just...
What's too much?
Once, twice every week.
That's pretty normal amount.
Yeah. Thank you. But
I thought you're gonna be like, once or twice a morning. I'd be like, okay, that's a little, you know.
No.
I guess that's what I'm saying. It's just like, and again, that's fine if someone in the relationship wants to like pause, but I think in most committed adult relationships, you, if you are sexually intimate and it just like stops, I think both people in their relationship should understand why, you know, and there might be a lot of valid reasons why, but like not knowing why can raise a lot of confusion and questions. And again, is it okay that you started talking to this other guy? No, not when you're in a committed relationship. It wasn't, especially since clearly there, you weren't trying to be friends with them. You were there. You said there was flirting. There was a sexual attraction. He was meeting a need that your boyfriend wasn't, you know, and on some level. So that's ultimately what happens, right? And again, it's not an excuse, and I'm in no way justifying, you know, I'm not trying to make you feel bad either. You don't need me to tell you that wasn't okay or that was wrong to do in a committed relationship. But ignoring the problems you have in the relationships that you have and not getting answers, that just creates more confusion, and then you look for answers elsewhere. And that sounds like what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
Having your needs not met in the relationship isn't sustainable.
Yeah. It's a conversation we've definitely had. He's gone to therapy about it just because I know it's something difficult for him where he's not being able to meet my needs. And then he's gone to the doctor about it. So it just makes me feel bad because
is the equipment not working? Is it like he's having a hard time? Okay. That can be tough for a young man. I mean, and there's no answers. Is it just what threat? Like, is he masturbating? Like,
I don't know. We've definitely talked about it and he said he's tried like watching porn and it doesn't even like, really work. He's also said that his doctor told him it was like stress, and it's just, I don't know, we're slowly kind of like working our way back up. It's just, he says he needs the affection from me.
Yeah, I don't know, it could stress for sure, but I also I don't think it's the end of the world if you guys were to decide that maybe he's not your person.
Yeah.
He met when you were 17. Just, you know. How do you know if he's your guy? You know, we talk about fitness. We have a lot of great fitness options for other people looking to meet their fitness goals. But what do you wear while you're working out? Well, I'll tell you, the shorts at 10,000 are of the highest quality, best fitting shorts I've ever worked out in. My favorite ones, they have I don't know, it's like spandex built into the shorts or something. And that way when I'm like on my exercise bike and it rides up, I'm not showing my pasty thighs. I don't know. I also like feel like I look cool in them. They wick away moisture. They don't chafe. Anti-chafe liner. Oof. I'll tell you what. for all you guys out there, ladies listening, get your guys a pair of these. He will thank you for it. 10,000 Gear is a great gift for any guy in your life. As I said, your significant other, your brother, your father. They have gear for all types of workouts, from running to heavy lifting to gym days and boxing. I love my shorts. I wear them for biking and running, all types of workouts that I do. They're even, like, honestly, they kind of double up as a great pair of swim trunks if you want. I mean, I often just jump in the pool with them on. 10,000 is a direct-to-consumer company, no middleman, so you get premium fabric, trims, and techniques that other brands simply cannot afford. You can tell how premium it is just by how it feels. I can vouch for that. A team of over 200,000 athletes test their gear to ensure their perfect design, fabric, trims, and fit. And I'm not an athlete anymore, but I also wear them, and I think they're great. Over 10,000 five-star reviews, free shipping and returns, a lifetime guarantee. I mean, who offers you that anymore? 10,000 is offering our listeners 15% off your purchase. 10,000.cc and enter code VIALL. 10,000.cc and enter code VIALL.
That's what my friend was saying too. She wanted me to break up with him and kind of explore things with a new guy, which was something I wanted to do too. I guess with the new guy, he just wasn't really reassuring me. He was like, never really texted me, never really talked to me. So I figured, like, if he's not really putting in the effort, then, like, it's not that I do it.
Here's the thing. If you are in a relationship with your first love, right, you don't know what else is out there. It's your first love is all you know. And it's normal to be tempted out there. And just because the one person you got excited about and you gave a little bit of attention to, even if you shouldn't have, didn't validate some things or whatever, it doesn't mean that you should run back to the person. You know, the point is, there's something inside you saying your needs aren't being met, and you've met one other guy who you got excited about. And again, like, a lot of people in your position want an easy out. They want the assurance. They want to know, well, I'm not going to leave this love of my life if I don't know. They're like monkeys going from one vine to another. Like, that's not, you know, you have to have the courage to maybe, like, say goodbye to a good thing so that you can find a great thing. And there's no guarantees and there's unknowns, and your relationship is not as perfect as you want to think it is, or you want to tell me. And I'm sure he's a great guy, and there's a lot of love there, and there's a lot to be thankful for. And even if you don't work out, he will hold a special place in your heart, et cetera, et cetera. But clearly you're being tempted out there, and it sounds like it might be something that deep down you want to explore. You're just afraid to do it.
It's kind of bad, but I see it as like an investment. Like, I know one day he will be a good husband. He'll be a good father.
Yeah, so. I mean, yeah, maybe. But you're not currently being a good girlfriend. And in some ways, you know, also, yeah, I mean, I guess, like, I understand why, you know, if he's having physical issues, it would be challenging for him. But there's something there. And it's not, if he's going to the doctor and the doctor's like, yeah, I mean, it's all working and it's psychological, like, that, he's got to figure that out.
Yeah.
Like, could he be potentially interested in someone who, you know, doesn't look like, as a 22-year-old guy who's not being aroused by their partner is, and the doctor says everything's physically working. Wondering if he might be more interested in the opposite sex, potentially. Have you thought about, I don't know. Maybe not. It could be psychological, but, like, I don't know.
In the first year of our relationship, he did cheat on me with the guy. It was just, it was just, like, through text, like Snapchat. And yeah, I found out because the guy told me.
Well, I think that's probably your answer.
I asked him about it because I was like, you know, I think, like, if you want to go that route, like, I'll be here to support you and everything. He says no, that's not what he, like, he just wanted to explore, but that's not, like, what he wants for him, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's, it can be incredibly challenging for people to find themselves if they are in any way gay or bisexual or fluid. And it can be scary. And there's so many dynamics that are involved, from like family acceptance to, you know, friends, your culture, your surroundings. It can be incredibly scary. So it would make sense why he might be pushing you away, but we just got to look at the facts that we do know. Your sex life has become almost non-existent. He can't perform sexually because of what seems to be physical. Doctors say it's all works. You caught him emotionally cheating on you with another guy. And that would make sense that someone who's age 17, 18, or 19 year old trying to figure himself out is, you know, exploring things. So yeah, I think that might, and who knows? It's not your job to decide or figure it out. And you don't need to play the Hardy Boys to, you know, figure it out. But I think you have enough there to say he might be a great guy and someday a great father and a great partner with whoever who he's with. But I think maybe set him free, see what he explores while he is free, see what mm-hmm. else you can find, date different guys. And you're right, you're going to meet some not great guys. You will. Mm-hmm. You're going to go on some dates and you're going to be like, what a dick, not great. Mm-hmm. And then you keep looking and you keep dating.
I've definitely tried breaking up with him, but he just doesn't want to.
Yeah, well, if he is gay or bisexual, it might be a very scary thing to, you know, I'm sure he loves you and he cares about you and you're his best friend, and that might be a tough reality he's not even ready to face, right? I don't necessarily, like, if you break up with him, I don't think you should be like, because I think you're gay, you know, let him figure that on his own, you know, like, yeah. You just, hey, I just think it's best. And, you know, I don't know what you tell him. I wouldn't let him figure that out for himself. Also, no one can stop you from breaking up with him. You know what I'm saying? Like, he can't control you. He can't stop you from breaking up with him. He might cry. It's going to be awkward and difficult. You got to fight through that, you know? But he doesn't have the right to stop you from moving on. And I know you might feel guilty and it might be scary, but it might be the right thing for both of you. Because, again, doing what you're doing now is leading to very toxic things. You don't mm-hmm. want to be a cheater. You don't want to emotionally cheat. You don't want to do something that makes you be disappointed in yourself or hurt someone you love. And you might not necessarily be in love with them, but you still care about him. You love your boyfriend. You want what's best for him. You want him to be happy, right? You don't want to hurt him. And you're avoiding the certain realities because of out of fear. And I think you're just going to have to face some fears and have some tough conversations and, you know, maybe move on and hope that maybe yeah. you two can still, you know, be friends and be there for each other. And he will always be your first love. And that will be someone you will always be grateful you had in your life. That it might have run its course. It's a good time in your life to get comfortable with being alone and dating and being single and be selfish and hang out with your friends. And whatever dreams you have from a personal standpoint, whether it's career or things you've never tried, you should do those things. And your energy that's freed up from the relationship you're considering letting go shouldn't immediately be placed by a guy. It should be replaced by a million other things that you want to try.
Yeah, you're right.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, best of luck.
Thank you. It was really nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you. You're going to be okay. How's it going?
Hey there, my name's John and I'm 25.
Hi, John. How can I help?
Yeah, so calling in to kind of get your advice on asking girls that I go on dates with, you know, figure out what they're looking for. So for some context, you know, I didn't date too much in college. I was focused on, you know, my college experience and setting up my career, which I have done so. And then obviously COVID hit. And took that very seriously, limited the people that I interacted with to family health reasons. So once, you know, we all got vaccinated, I downloaded the dating apps and put myself out there in May of this year. I met somebody, and that developed into kind of a 2-month dating experience where at the end, she kind of blindsided me in a way where she said that she's not looking for anything serious, not ready for a relationship, even though we are moving in that direction. So that was kind of like a little wake up call for myself to kind of better communicate my intentions and also better ask individuals who I go on dates with, you know, what they are looking for. But I've yet to kind of find that balance. So I started going on a couple more dates with individuals this summer as well. And this third individual that I went on a date with, we hit it off, had a really great first date, great, you know, conversation and just getting to know each other, talked a lot about our family, our background, had a lot in common because of that background. And so we went on a second date and just got to know each other a lot more. I started getting like emotionally invested in her, even though I was like, oh crap, I'm kind of starting the same situation that I did with the first girl back in May, where, you know, I started developing feelings without really understanding, you know, what she was looking for. That's my kind of question to you is, how do I find that balance of, you know, creating a great connection with someone on a first or second date, you know, getting to know them, but, you know, asking them what, you know, in a casual way, in a friendly way, what they're looking for.
Yeah. John, let me ask you, do you feel like you've been in love before?
No.
That's kind of what I thought. And so you probably haven't been heartbroken, and that's totally okay. So you're in your mid 20s, you've chosen, you know, it's all a matter of perspective, right? If from my standpoint, in a lot of ways, you've done a lot of things in a great way, right? You know, life is kind of messy. And I guess, you know, like I fell in love when I was 18, and I wasted so much energy on that one relationship. And I learned a lot, right? I can look back and there's some teachable moments for myself, and I really kind of lean in those in times. But man, like you said, you focused on college and you focused on your career. Maybe you were even so little extreme, you know, life's about balance and then like a little bit, but you did that. And honestly, if someone who's done it before, I would look back, that's the advice I would give most people, right? It's harder mm-hmm. to go back. You can always date, man. You know, like here you are, you're 25, and no matter what's going on right now, you got fucking nothing but time, you know, knock on wood, health and all that fun stuff. Either way, from a society standpoint, it would make sense that at 25, you're feeling a little pressure, feeling like maybe you're behind dating. Mm-hmm. If you're going on dates with women who are relatively in your age, they might be a little bit more experienced, both emotionally and sexually. I don't know. And then, so because the reason I asked that is because what you're describing, you know, you're like, oh, I started having feelings for her. I mean, mm-hmm. you're going to start having feelings for probably every girl you go out with for a while. And they're not, you know, they're feelings. They are, you're right about that. They're feelings. But it's not love, you know, because you don't really know them. And maybe you know that. But sometimes when we start having any type of feeling of excitement or intrigue or lust, and you go on a nice date and she's like saying some nice things like, I like my family, and she does a couple jokes and she makes you laugh, and you're like, oh, that's a nice person, physically attracted mm-hmm. to her. I get excited. I leave the date. I feel excitement. What does that excitement mean? You know? And they're just kind of new feelings. And I think it's just important for you to own your choices that you've made. And those choices are, I chose not to prioritize dating and women in my late teens and early 20s. And maybe I could have been a little bit more balanced. Fine. I could have maybe done a little, I could have been less rigid, but it is what it is. Those are the choices I've made. And as a result, I'm in this position now, and that I might be slightly behind the average guy my age or girl, but that's okay. I don't need to make up for lost time. I don't need to panic. I can catch up pretty quickly. I just need to fall in love and get my heart smashed before I'm 30. I mean, I'm joking, but honestly, like, that's okay if it happens, and it might happen. And maybe I think it's a good thing that happens sometimes. But, you know, keep doing what you're doing, man. Just, when you are going out and you get excited about a girl, just say, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited because I'm having a nice moment. I'm having a nice time with what seems like a nice person. I don't need to figure out what she wants all of a sudden. I don't need to like solve all her problems. I should just ask more questions. I should recognize that I'm excited about this date, but there's so much more I don't know about her that could change my excitement, but I'm just going to try to enjoy it as I go. You know, so don't put so much pressure on yourself to try to know what she wants, right? You didn't do anything wrong with the first girl, right? There's not probably nothing you could have asked. There's not anything you probably could have done differently. You went on a date. You had a nice time. She thought she liked you. She changed her mind. That's okay. It hurts a little bit. It bruised your ego. But, and my guess is maybe you got a little too excited, a little too fast, and maybe spooked her. But truthfully, she probably just didn't like you, man. And that's okay. You know? Here you are, this kind of sweet, kind of earnest guy. And you're going to fall on the nice guy. You know, you're not a fuckboy, whatever. But you don't have to be a fuckboy to still be confident in yourself, to know what you want. But you don't know what you want yet because you haven't fucking done it yet. And that's okay. Right. And that's what I mean. Like, you don't pretend that you know what you want. Like, it sounds like your career is on a nice little path. Like, I'm sure you have a lot of goals left, but you've set yourself up nicely. Now you just stay the course, right? So now you can prioritize your dating. Like, your next, between 5 and 30, you know, I'm going to date. I'm going to date. I'm going to get to know women. I'm going to get to know people. I'm going to be open to getting to know people longer. When I get excited about someone, I'm going to just try to pump the brakes and allow myself to be excited, but know that I have to get to know them more. And you'll figure it out. You know, it's fucking hard to do. It's a mess. It's like, it's really hard to know what we want and then try to figure out what someone else wants. But you opened up with like, I want to figure out what these women want, but you have to figure out what you want first. It's hard to know what you want when you haven't been doing it.
Yeah. I appreciate your answer. And that was great advice. And so from your perspective, you know, I understand what I'm wanting, which is a relationship. I've yet to be in one and looking for that romantic connection with somebody.
But that's the thing. I want to cut you off right there. And I think a lot of people make that mistake. In fact, I think a lot of times women will make that sometimes. They know they want like, I don't want to be fucking around. I don't want to fuck, but I want to be in a committed relationship. I want a partner. So that's great that you know, but you don't know what you want in a partner. You know, like maybe I want a nice person and I want them to have gone a college education and they don't want them to have tattoos or that doesn't mean anything. But like knowing what you want is kind of like just talking with people and sitting down with them and how they might make you feel, like these feelings you're feeling. We talk a lot about like the spark or whatever, and you're going to go on dates with women and they'll make you feel a feeling. And you might think, oh, fuck, I love her. And then you realize all she is just like picking on an insecurity you have about yourself. That takes time to figure out, man. Like it takes people sometimes 10 years, right?
Yeah.
And you're dating now a little older and more mature. So you're going to like, your learning curve might be a little shorter, but you still have to learn some of this stuff. So it's great that you know what you want in terms of like, I want a relationship, but you're not entirely sure what those qualities are, what that type of connection is, how your love language fits and things like that, you know, compatibility. And I think that's the thing that you have to give yourself some space and grace to figure out, right? I think knowing that, because I think sometimes a lot of people in your position will say, well, I want a girlfriend. I want to be in a relationship. And then you're just trying to jam that goal down everyone you meet who you have a decent time with, right? Yeah. And you're just like, fuck it, I like you. You seem nice. I don't know, you're pretty. My friends kind of like you. Fuck it. We should date, man. You know? And they're just like, whoa, I don't, huh? You know? So.
Yeah. You hit it on the mark. Yeah. That's something that I've noticed and learned this past summer was like, okay, I need to slow my rolls and, you know, not put so much pressure on finding a girlfriend, you know? Because like you said, I'm starting later in the game, but it doesn't mean that I need to make up for that time. I still need to give myself the room to figure out, you know, what I really want in a partner or want in somebody. And so just to clarify, so when I'm on a you know, first or second date with somebody, I'm getting to know them, I understand that I don't really need to be asking them, you know, what made you download the app or what made you go on this date or something like that.
I mean, you can ask it, it's fine, but that doesn't tell you a ton about them. You know, simple question, like, what do you do? What'd you do today? Follow-up questions are great. If you ask them what they do for work, do you like your job? What do you like about your job? What's your favorite thing about your job? What's something about your job you don't like? Is this something you want to keep doing? Do you have other goals outside of this job? Oh, I've always thought about doing this. What stuff, stuff like that.
Which is what I've done, you know, like, that's like, I'm a personable person. I recognize the what I can bring to the table. And I've also recognized that I do have a lot of insecurities that I'm working through. And I think that first girl that I, you know, was dating or going on dates with for 2 months, that was probably like the first real experience that I had where someone was reciprocating, you know, liking me. And it turned out where she didn't eventually like me, you know, to that level, which obviously was it hurt, you know, and it was a big kicker into working on myself more and working on those insecurities so that, like you said, when I go on another date, I'm not shoving it down their throat. Like, I'm so eager to be in a relationship because that's not attractive either. So basically you're kind of, you know, keep doing what I'm doing, which is getting to know somebody, having easy conversation with them, getting to know their background, and then build a connection with them. And if it falls through, then it falls through, right?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Dating is just a fucking mess and it's hard to follow like certain rules and processes and things like that. So I think you just need to take it easy on yourself, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just kind of a wild roller coaster. And I think if you have those expectations going in, you can be pleasantly surprised. And it kind of takes years. It really does. You know, some people get it right off the bat, and congratulations for them. But this podcast wouldn't exist if it was so easy. You know, there's a fine line between getting some perspective and not being cynical, as we've talked about. You know, like, I'm not trying to like have you call in and not enjoy dating and getting excited about a girl. Like, you should allow yourself to get excited. But if it doesn't work out like it didn't, don't let it crush your spirits and have you become jaded or whatever. You know, like, be excited, but also just know that like that's maybe not love, right? Because you're not 18 and 17 anymore. Because if you were 18 and 17, you'd just be like, fuck it, man. I'm fucking in love. And this is the greatest thing. And, you know, and then even your parents would be like, I don't know, man. But like, fuck it. It's 17. How am I going to be? But you know this. You're an adult man. And you have perspective in other aspects of your life. And maybe not dating. But you can incorporate that kind of level-headed approach. And you're old enough to know that how you see things initially might not be how they are once you've taken a step back and really looked at it, right? I'm sure you've learned that at work, or, you know, and same thing applies to dating. So you can get excited, you can enjoy it, and still say, all right, I like where this is going. I like her. I definitely like her. I wanted to get to know more about her. And we'll see if she likes me. And it's a fine line between playing hard to get and being too available. And I, you know, there's no tricks, and I don't want you to start reading these books about like how to game the system and pick up chicks. Be your authentic self. Someone is going to love you for that. It just might take some time. And in the meantime, the more confident you are about who you are and what you want, while still being a gentleman and respectful to the people you're going on dates with, you will find that. And you'll probably just avoid a lot of fuck girls of your own. You know, there's a lot of fuck boys out there, and they're not just men. Just try to enjoy it along the lines, and you can say, it's okay to say, like, honestly, I haven't dated a ton. I was focused on my career. I'm honestly probably saying stuff like that, saying the honest truth, can show some confidence.
Right. You
know, I don't want to talk about your insecurities in the first three dates, but like, as you get to know someone, maybe you try it out with someone. You got to start talking about, like, you know, something I'm just really kind of insecure about is this. You just say it, but you say it knowing that your insecurity, or her knowing your insecurity, isn't going to crush you. You're not going to die. Yeah. And then maybe she opens up about insecurity. And when people start feeling safe to open up their insecurities, that's when they start feeling safe and like someone. And You know, those are ways to overcome those. And like you might be the nice guy, but you can show her that you're a self-assured guy and a strong guy. And, you know, and that's a different, you know, you don't have to be a dick or a nice guy. You can just be a decent guy who's still figuring it out, but he knows what he wants. He knows how to set his boundaries. If he knows how to put himself out there, and he won't like pout and cry, you know, you can be, and you can emote, but you know what I'm saying? So it's just a process. Yeah. My overall advice to you is just take it easy on yourself. You don't have to figure it all at once. Get out there and start dating, man. Just date hard. Mm-hmm. And keep going. Practice, you know, take your swings, shoot your shots, and just have, you know, just take it, be easy on yourself. And I think, honestly, I think you're going to be fine.
That's really good to know. And I really appreciate your perspective and your advice. You know, I started listening to your podcast actually when I started getting back into the dating world. And it's been very helpful to hear from other people's know, experiences. So thank you for your advice.
Question, do you have a lot of women friends?
I do.
Yeah, good. So I think that's good that you prioritize that. Make their your friends. Don't friends with benefits. Don't turn them into girlfriends. But like, take their advice about like, you know, how you should dress. Maybe get some fashion advice from them. You know, some of that stuff. You know, like what girls like or they don't dislike, and just general high level stuff. You know. That's great. You can catch up pretty fast by just listening and talking to other women. You know, I think that's great to have women friends, as long as you have a clear definition about that. Like don't make friends that they're not your girlfriends. Either they're your friends or someone you're trying to date. Don't become the guy who's friend you that you'll get friend zoned all the time. Clear boundaries.
I experienced that a time or two in college, because that's how I thought, you know, dating works. It's like you get to know someone and then eventually, you know, you would move into a relationship, but that's all right. I have a lot of great friends now from those experiences, and they have definitely helped me throughout, you know, this overall, you know, past couple of years of just trying to figure out, you know, where do I want to go and who I am. So it's nice to have that perspective. And it's also kind of interesting to a point that I do have a lot of women friends, and I can make women friends easily, but there's that disconnect. When I start going on dates, I lose all that disconnect. So it's just a very interesting.
It's because it's different. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people think it's not, you know? And so when you go out and date, you have women friends. You don't need more women friends. So if some girl wants to be friends with you, just be like, hey, you seem nice, but actually I'm good. I have friends. And don't make the mistake of thinking you can get her to like you by being her friend. And it seems like you know that. But, you know, other things in terms of like learning what women like, or, you know, little things that you and I might not know because we're guys and we don't like, we don't pay attention to that stuff, or, you know, getting fashion advice and staying with the trends. And it's always great to lean on your women friends.
For sure. And so just one other question, because I do recognize that I want a relationship, but I'm also open to kind of pushing myself outside my comfort zone and, you know, having fun and figuring out, you know, my likes and dislikes. And so, you know, if that's something that is casual and I do go on a date or, you know, with somebody, and I sense that, you know, I'm seeking a casual thing with them, how would I bring that up in like a respectful manner? I'm sure that's probably hard to answer, but like, is there any kind of
that you can do? The most respectful thing is to be totally upfront and honest, to be very clear with your expectations. Don't kind of be like, well, you know, don't use words like maybe and we'll see. You know, especially if you could tell a girl likes you, you just be like, hey, listen, you seem nice, but like, I'm looking for something casual. And then as the person who set that boundary, then it's your responsibility to be, to like pay attention. If you think if she starts like, well, hey, I know you just said we wanted something casual, but like we've been hanging out, then it's your responsibility to slow it down. All you can do is just be honest and upfront. You can, you know, and that's how you practice communication. Doesn't, guarantee you're going to hurt anyone's feelings. Doesn't guarantee that someone might be upset with you that you don't give them what you want, but you just got to be honest and upfront and just very direct, and don't live in the gray. Don't be afraid to hurt their feelings at the risk of being direct. You just be kind, mm-hmm. be gentle, be a gentleman, but just be honest. Like, hey, I don't want more from you. And if you think that they want more from you, then those are the people you shouldn't be having casual hookup sex with because it's comfortable and easy. Like, don't do the same thing that you're afraid to be done to you.
Right.
So, okay. Yeah, I think you just need to practice on communication and dating, and I think you're going to be fine. You're hyper aware, and the fact that you want to be good at it, just like anything mm-hmm. else, takes practice, but you will get good at it.
Very true. All right. Awesome. Thank you, Nick. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Best of luck, buddy. You're going to be great.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Good. What's your name?
My name is Kristen.
Hi, Kristen. How old are you?
Hi. I'm 44.
How can I help?
So I've been dating this guy for almost a month now, like 3.5 weeks. And he wanted the boyfriend-girlfriend title pretty early, like a week and a half into it.
Did he say why?
No, I think he was just kind of in the moment. We had had an exclusivity talk before, like a few days before. So I knew we were kind of exclusive, like I'm not dating anyone else, you're not dating anyone else, that kind of thing. But then, I don't know, a few days later, he was kind of buzzed and he was like, I already think of you as my girlfriend. I want you to be my girlfriend. Like, do you want to be my girlfriend? And I was like, no, I'm not answering that.
How old is this person?
He's younger. He's 34.
Okay.
So there's a significant age difference.
Okay.
Yeah. And I didn't say yes because he was buzzed and I was just like, you're buzzed. Let's talk about it tomorrow. Let's see if that's actually how you feel tomorrow.
Okay.
And the next day he was like, everything I said was real. That's how I feel. Like, you don't have to say it right away if you're not ready, but I want you to be my girlfriend.
But why?
I don't know. Well, I mean, I guess I didn't really ask the question.
Well, there you go. I'd start there.
I mean, he's like, I'm so into you. You know, he was like, I'm into
Why
you.
Are you and into like, me?
He says he thinks I'm beautiful. I'm smart. I have my shit together. That kind of
so,
thing.
So those are vague.
Right. They're pretty vague. Yeah.
Is he able to articulate how he makes you feel when he's around you? You know, but these are ways you can ask questions and be like, I like you, but like, it feels like you're trying to rush to define something when we haven't figured out if we know each other. And certainly people who are 10 years apart can date, but it's still a reason to maybe ask more questions because, well, you could certainly totally work out. There's also a chance that you guys might, you know, not totally line up maturity wise or want different things or blah, blah, blah. There's like a million things of why it could not work out that have nothing to do with your age difference. And the age difference like adds another wrinkle.
Right.
But all the more reason to be like, hey, you know, we've been hanging out for like a couple of weeks and I'm glad we like each other. Super exciting. I feel the same.
Yeah.
Let's keep learning. And if we were going to define something right now, I need you to explain why. I need you to know that you feel the way I do and feel like vague, like, well, you're just cool and pretty and like, I like you are not reasons. And that's not explaining.
To be a girlfriend or boyfriend.
Yeah. That's not like, you know.
Yeah. It's definitely vague. And I feel like our real life actions are we're dating, but I don't feel like, I feel like if I was just dating him and we were just dating, we never had this conversation, I'd be fine with what's happening in our relationship. But because he put this, you know, title to it, my expectations are higher and those are not being met.
What do you mean? Oh, so you're like, oh,
like,
so at first you're just like, yeah, I'll fuck you. And then, and then he's like, I want you to be my girlfriend.
No.
And you're like,
all right,
I need, this is what I want for my boyfriend. And then he was like, wait, I thought I just got to have sex with you and call you my girlfriend.
No. We were definitely dating. We had 4 dates before we had sex. There was definitely like conversation.
Oh, 4 days. Okay. Well, I guess.
Well, you know, that's
true love.
Big for, yeah, totally.
I'm just fucking
but
with you.
It was, I know, but it was,
you what do you mean by your needs aren't being met though?
I mean, like, so our schedules don't line up. I work days. He works nights.
Okay.
He works, you know, weekends. So our schedules don't line up. So we don't have a lot of free time at the same time, but like, for instance, we finally had one day off and my expectation was, let's spend this day off together. And that didn't happen. So, I mean, it sort of happened at that evening, but his initial plan was not to spend his day with me. And I was annoyed by that. I probably should have said something and asked for the time instead of just getting mad about not being the priority, but I don't know.
I'm teasing you, but you know, you got a 34-year-old guy, you got a 44-year-old woman, and we give 22-year-olds a hard time.
So give me a hard time. Go ahead.
What do you like about him? How'd you guys meet?
We met out. We like met through a mutual friend, and then saw each other out a couple times. Okay.
And what's your story? You're 44. Have you been married before? No. Yes.
Never married.
No kids. Do you want to get married? Do you want to have kids?
I don't not necessarily to either one. Okay. No, I don't need marriage. I don't need kids.
Sure.
No.
Okay. And what about him? Have you talked to him about that?
Yes, it was one of like our initial conversations before anything really happened. Was like this. I mean, to me, it was a huge age gap. To him, he was like, this is fine. This is not a concern for me, you know? And we talked about the kids thing. And he said, what would your biggest concern be? And my biggest concern would, if you want to have children, I might not be able to do that. So, and he was totally cool with it. He was like, I don't need them. I could have them. I could not have them. It doesn't matter. I mean, he's talked about like us being together forever and all this stuff. And you
know, so I guess what's your big question?
What is the motivation for calling me your girlfriend if like you're not following it up with your actions, really?
I mean, some people love titles, and it's not just, you know, I don't think women are any more guilty than men. You know, for all the people who don't want to define a relationship and drag their feet and don't want a commitment, there's a whole nother large group of people who just want to have a boyfriend or girlfriend.
Right.
And he met you. You've had a pretty good time. Maybe he's had a string of bad dates and a lot of, you know, interactions, and he meets you and she's like, oh fuck, man, she's like, she's 44, she's mature, like, I don't know, she's easy to be around, fuck it, I haven't been this good in a couple of years, and he just wants to lock it in. I don't know, but like that does happen all the time. These are great questions for him,
right? Yeah, I should be asking him these questions, right?
Yeah.
Not you.
No, I mean, I'm happy thanks for calling in, but I do think it's shocking how often people in these relationships who are dating will have these potential great expectations of each other, talk about things like kids or marriage or exclusivity. They'll have sex, they'll see each other naked, but they are afraid to ask things like why or follow-up questions. And these are not like, you're not being difficult, you're just trying to get answers. And right. or setting expectations. Oh, okay, well, you want to be my boyfriend and you had a free day and like, I didn't hear from you, which is, it's fine. But like, yeah, whoever I call my boyfriend, quality time is one of my love. You know, if it is like, I like spending a lot of time with my boyfriend and I like feeling like a priority from my boyfriend. And that kind of made me feel like not a priority. And since we barely know each other and we've known each other for less than a month, I don't want to overreact. Because maybe you had something going on and maybe, you know, but like, that's how I felt. So let's talk about it and let's have a conversation. This is an example of how little you guys know about each other, even though what you do know, you both seem to kind of like, which is great. But that doesn't mean you should like, people do this weird thing. It's just like, once they decide they like someone or if they want to like someone, they're like, I'm going to stop getting to know this person. And then I'm just going to like them. And then hopefully it doesn't get worse from here.
Right, right.
And then they'll stop asking questions. And then when miscommunication happens or where things don't line up, they'll just get pissed off and confused and ask their friends or, you know, some guy in a podcast. Instead of asking the very person, be like, hey, just you know, that happened and like, why? And this is how I felt and this is how it made me feel and I don't want to feel this way and maybe you didn't even mean it this way, so
yeah, it's time to have some conversations.
Yeah, but I mean it's definitely immature of him to want to force this like defining of boyfriend and girlfriend with such little information.
Right.
And if he was able to say, listen, I know that, like, if he was able to recognize the obvious and show some self-awareness and say, listen, I get we've only been dating 3.5 weeks and it's a little nuts, but I like you. And let me tell you why I feel the way I do. And he was able to like really articulate it and really say, hey, and things might change and who knows, maybe we'll break up. But I do know, and there is what there is nothing wrong is saying, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. 3 weeks, that's fine. It's reasonable for you to go, like, I know I like you, and I know I want to learn more. I hope you feel the same way about me. Can we just, like, agree to, like, not have sex with other people? I would rather not worry about you still on the dating apps, and let's just keep getting to know each other, because I like you, and I'm willing. I like you enough to know I want to invest more in getting to know you. I think that's reasonable. So, and that could be what he is trying to do, and he's just doing a bad job of communicating that, because honestly, I don't think anyone says shit like that. They're just like,
right.
Be my boyfriend or be my girlfriend.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But it sounds like maybe he just wants to know that, like, he just he's totally fine with focusing on just you and learning more about you. But yeah. I think people in your position want to hear that self-awareness to say, does this like guy want to marry me tomorrow, or does he just want to get to know me? Because if he just wants to get to know you more without like worrying about you sleeping with other people, and he's fine with shutting that down and getting off the dating apps just to focus his energy on you, that seems reasonable, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe that's
it. I have no problem with.
Yeah.
Right.
So have that, sit down with him and be like, okay, so what do you mean by boyfriend and girlfriend? What are your expectations?
Yeah.
Because if you just like date for 3 weeks and go, hey, do you want to be my boyfriend? And they're like, yeah, I'll be your girlfriend. And they're like, great. And then you guys have no idea what that means to either of you.
Right.
You know, it might be one, to one couple, it means something. So like you had all these expectations with your last relationship and same with him. Those aren't going to be the same as your expectations of each other.
No.
And yet you have no idea what those expectations are.
Yeah, after dating someone for a month. Isn't that ridiculous?
Well, the timeline doesn't really matter there, because you guys, the way you guys are going now, a year from now, you still might not have any expectations of what it means to be each other's boyfriend and girlfriends.
Right.
And truly, right. Like you on the first date, you guys figured out that both of you were like not having kids wasn't a big priority. So you guys are capable of talking about like important things.
Yeah.
So talk about like what it means. Like, imagine being on a third date and having a conversation of like basic, what does it mean to be a boyfriend to you?
Right.
Or a girlfriend to you? What a fun third or fourth date conversation no one has.
Yeah, we should be having this conversation.
But and say, hey, it's not just you. I don't know if I've had a conversation like that on a date. I mean, in various ways I have, but like what's so bad about being like, hey, we've been hanging out for 3 or 4 weeks. It's our fifth date. Like,
or yeah, like why am I afraid of like,
what does that mean to you?
Like, scaring him away. Like when he's boyfriend. Well, I don't know. I guess a little bit, but I think it's just because of past things that don't work out and people don't want to have real conversations. I don't know. So maybe that's a bit of it, but I mean, he keeps telling me like, he's here. He's into this. This is happening, you know?
Yeah. Well, also you have a right to be nervous about the fact that while it's great that he's excited, neither of you really know how this is going to work out.
Yeah, totally.
So you're being a little bit more pragmatic and logical and self-aware. He's throwing more caution to the wind, and there's nothing wrong with either. It's kind of fun to have a little bit of both, but you still need to have some of these conversations.
Yeah. Yeah. I need to line up a little bit more.
Yeah. That's all.
Yeah. Okay.
So try that.
All right.
And listen, if it doesn't go the way you hope, better you know now.
Totally. Be done. Yeah, I agree. Get back on those dating apps.
Like, are you like in love with the guy? Or are you excited?
No, I'm excited by him. I really like him. Yeah, no, I'm definitely not in love. I mean, it's way too early. Like, no, I think
so. His excitement's making you a little nervous, and rightfully so. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like anyone. I never like anyone. I mean, like, I've been single for a really long time. I don't ever like anyone. So
not to scare you, but the faster they fall for you without like a lot of information, the more likely
they're going to
just
fall out.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
like,
I know.
You know, but again, we don't really know, because it could just be a level of excitement that he's not articulating very well. And you could easily say, listen, I like you. And yeah, I want to stop sleeping with other people. I'm good with just focusing on you, and let's see where it goes. By the way, you know, I guess labels, sure, whatever, but what does that even mean to you?
Right.
You know, like, what are your expectations? Like, you know, is that going to change how much we hang out? Because it will for me. Like, if you're going to be my boyfriend, I want to know that you're there. I don't want to wonder, because right now I don't have a lot of expectations for you. You're some guy I've met for 3 weeks. I've had some pretty good sex with,
and I'm having fun with. But yeah, like, is it more?
And maybe he doesn't even realize, because like, relationships don't start until expectations come. And does he recognize that? Does he recognize he's not saying be my girlfriend. He's saying, I want more responsibility and I want more expectations of myself and of you as well. Because that's what it means.
And I don't think that's what it means to him. I don't feel like it does yet, right?
Yeah, well, find
out. Yeah, right. Oh, have conversations.
Good luck. I think you can do it. I think you can handle it.
I think I can handle it. Yes, I will do it.
All right.
Good luck. Cool.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Okay.
How's it going?
Hi. My name is Ashley and I'm 31.
Hi, Ashley. How can I help?
So I was dating a guy for about like a month and a half.
Okay.
It was going really well. I'm divorced for like 4.5 years and I've dated a bunch.
Okay.
And like, this guy was like my favorite. Like, it was going the most smoothly. And he was also divorced. It's been like a year and a half. And before we like actually ended up dating, I made sure he was ready, because it hadn't really been as long, but we had that in common and we ended up having like a lot of similarities in common. And it was just like easy to talk to him, like going very well. So we had gone on about like, I don't know, 8 or 9 dates or so. And then I went away for like a week and a half, talked every day, like we always had, said goodnight every night. When I came back, I saw him the night I got back and we were like really excited to see each other. We had gotten a little bit more intimate. And then after that, I disclosed to him that I have a very common STI that I was very worried to like tell him about, because I've had people in the past react like really like ignorantly about it. But without even like skipping a beat, he was like, oh, I already know all about that. I've done research because one of my friend's girlfriends had that. It's like really common. It's usually dormant. And I'm like, oh, great. Like, he already knows. No big deal. Texted me when he got home that night, had an amazing time, whatever. Talked the next day, had said that he was having a busy work day and that he was going to be busy for the next couple of days. And then radio silence. And I haven't heard from him since Tuesday night. So Wednesday night, I texted him because he didn't seem like the type of person to just disappear. So I actually was like legitimately worried.
Sure.
So I thought maybe there was an emergency. So I was really giving him the benefit of the doubt, like looking up car accidents in the area. Like, there's no way this guy would have done this. So I texted him on Wednesday night and was like, hey, is everything okay? I'm starting to get confused. Nothing. Thursday night, I called him, left him a voicemail and said, can you just give me a call back? I'm starting to just get worried. Just let me know that you're okay. Then on Friday, I noticed that he unmatched me from the dating app, and that was it.
I'm sorry. That sucks. You still haven't heard from him?
No.
This is, you got ghosted. And that sucks. This is actually ghosting. And like, I know, like, unfortunately, you're like, you know, taking one for the team here for our audience, but like, so many people call in and be like,
you're
didn't
welcome.
Call me after our first date. I got ghosted. I'm like, no, you didn't. Just call you back.
Yeah.
You were there was expectations to hear from each other. There was some sort of relationship early on, whatever. And he ghosted you. And that sucks because, like you just described, those are the typical feelings for someone when they get ghosted.
My first instinct question to ask you was like, is there anything from like a male perspective that like you can surmise from this? But I also don't want to focus on him too much, because like, it's clear like he's an asshole and like I'm better off without him. So like my second part is also, I seem to attract people that will just leave very coldly and abruptly.
Has this happened to you before?
Yeah, not this bad, but it has happened before. And it's concerning
Well, what do you mean? Because this is very specific. This mm-hmm. is ghosting.
Yeah.
And this really sucks. And while, you know, not hearing back after a first date or someone abruptly hanging, you know, breaking up with you sucks, it's definitely not the same as ghosting.
No, that's not what happened.
And being, having someone ending a relationship never feels great. And in early dating situations, it tends to be out of the blue. The only note I would give you is that if it always feels out of the blue, then you must not be paying enough attention for the signs that something's wrong on their end.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, I mean, the way you tell this story, it sounds like you were pretty self-aware and checking in. You mentioned the STI. I mean, like you said, like it sounded like he had a really positive response and he wasn't as ignorant as maybe other people might be about some of those things. And there's no reason to think that that was the reason why he ghosted.
Right, no.
Because a lot of people ghost without stuff like that. So mm-hmm. I think it's a lot of wasted energy. Like as far, the fact of why he ghosted, total waste of your time trying to understand why.
That,
it's completely not your problem. What are some of the examples of what do you mean by abrupt that people are?
Like I mentioned, I was divorced. So the man that I got divorced from also brought up the divorce conversation like very abruptly, ended it very quickly and coldly. Like he didn't have any sort of like caring or empathy, which was like alarming.
Yeah.
Like you would think someone would.
I'd be careful not to compare your divorce with your casual dating since then.
It's just a similar, it seems like a lack of caring.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's just a lot of bad communicators and shitty people out there who lack empathy. I'm not excusing it, but it's not a you problem. If you're,
but like, how do I discover these traits about people sooner, so I'm not a month and a half in.
So thinking about your ex-husband, like mm-hmm. when you reflected back, was he just an amazingly empathetic guy to everyone around him?
He put on a very good front.
So you saw him put on a front to people.
Well, I also met him when I was 23 years old, so I don't want to excuse it, but like at the time I really didn't see like the difference. Because he only showed the difference when I was like doing something that upset him or irritated him. Then it was like a cold type of.
No. But I'm asking as his wife, mm-hmm. did you observe him treating other people with a lack of empathy? Did you observe your ex-husband putting up a front to people, being two-faced, talking behind their back? You know,
not particularly. No.
Okay. Yeah. I don't have a lot of information to go on, but if you're saying like he was this great guy and, you know, not perfect, no one's perfect. And then one day, was there someone else?
No, that I can be like certain of. I know that there wasn't. He just like didn't really feel like putting in the effort anymore. I wasn't like entirely happy. And whenever I would come to him with like an issue, it somehow like was my fault why I was upset with him to begin with. So he never really like listened to what I was saying. It always turned around to like, oh, well, I'm doing this because of what you're doing.
Gotcha. And other than your ex-husband and this guy, how many other relationships have you, how many people you've been dating?
I haven't like had like a relationship since the divorce. I've just like dated people here and there for like a month or two.
Okay. So very small sample size.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't let the trauma of your divorce, like getting your head too much, you know, ghosting is a thing. It happens. Mm-hmm. Sadly, people do it. Yeah. I mean, I think it just kind of get back out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I already have, like, I've already started to like change in my mind, like, okay, he's clearly not the person that I thought he was. So like, that's making it easier. It was just kind of the shock of it was pretty like alarming that someone could like, so do such like a quick flip.
Was it,
you know,
right after the STI conversation?
No, he stayed until 3 a.m. I told him that hours before.
Oh, but it was like the next, but no. So it was right after the STI conversation.
Well, so that was on Monday night. We talked on Tuesday, and Tuesday night was the last time I heard from him.
So how long did you date this guy for?
Like a month and a half.
So my guess is, it doesn't really matter, mm-hmm. but yeah, it probably had something to do with that. And he was real shitty about how he went about it. And I'm only saying that because I'd rather have you think that than getting your head about like some thing you can't identify that you're doing that you can't figure out of why men are just abruptly leaving you, you know?
Right.
So I think it's just a small sample size. I think you just, it's a tough beat. You gotta, you know, it's a shitty feeling. Get back out there. Keep dating. All the more reason to take it slow when you get excited about a guy. Try not to be cynical or let the divorce or this ghosting stop you from taking a chance. Unfortunately, as we, you know, hear, dating's hard and it's discouraging. You just gotta be patient enough and have enough perseverance to find that one person who is sweet and kind and empathetic, who is willing to work through problems that you are willing to work through as well. All while at the same time, you know, always looking, you seem introspective. You're like, you're literally calling in being like, what am I doing wrong? You know, and mm-hmm. you're probably not doing anything specifically wrong, but as long as you keep like looking in the mirror saying, how can I be a better communicator? How could I be more understanding, et cetera, et cetera. You seem willing to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think like when I finally like meet someone that I like, because it doesn't happen a lot, I get like excited.
Sure.
And then I think that's when I turn, like, I just stop paying attention. Like all of a sudden.
Pretty common.
I either go from like hunting for the red flags. And then once I like them, I'm like, oh, they're great. Like I don't have to do that anymore. Yeah, and then I'm not paying attention.
We were just talking about that earlier. Yeah. You know, people, once they decide to like someone, they stop getting to know someone.
I think that's what happened. Yeah.
Well, you're not
I
the
just
only
assumed.
One.
Yeah.
It's literally everyone.
All right. Well, I guess that makes me feel better.
Yeah. You are definitely not alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's good to get excited. And your mm-hmm. excitement is literally something that should be saying, congratulations, you're excited. Now ask more questions.
Right.
Take some more time.
Yeah.
You don't have to be cynical.
You're not even clear yet.
You don't. Mm-hmm. No. I mean, shit. You learned a lot about your husband after you married him.
Right.
You know, and sometimes you're always going to have to take a leap of faith, you know?
Yeah.
If you ever want to get married again or get engaged, like, I don't care. It doesn't have, you know, it might not be as aggressive as like taking a leap of faith, like going on The Bachelor, getting engaged, but it's still a leap of faith at some point.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's great to recognize that when you get excited, that is not, you don't stop learning and asking questions and getting to know someone, and and you're still not going to prevent yourself from sometimes getting disappointed.
Yeah. All right. I do have like another question.
Shoot.
Like I seem to gravitate towards very like outwardly like polished people that lack like substance inside, like this. Okay.
I'm not a big fan of polished people. I find that to be a big red flag. The more polished people try to act, the more I'm a little cautious. That's just me.
Yeah. Well, like, it seems like the polished people are like the assholes. So it's like, I need to like reframe it in my head where like I get so swept away. Like this guy got me flowers and I was like, oh my God, like this is so nice.
Flowers are nice, but like, it's just hard to be like perfect all the time. It's hard to like be polished and be so like put together. It takes a lot of effort. And usually, I think the closer you get, if you're dating someone and you start getting close and you feel like you're connecting with someone, they should be willing to like show you a little bit of their cracks. Uh-huh. You know, I love to say, I'm actually getting a tattoo of it this week. Damaged, not broken. We're all damaged. None of us are broken. Mm-hmm. And if you are dating someone and you feel like you're getting closer, but you can't figure out or they can't open up to you how they might be slightly damaged. And that damage could be, I don't know, just some vulnerability. It's really just vulnerability. To talk about right. how you're a little bit damaged is to express some vulnerability. And they're just like, no, I'm just polished as shit. You know, mm-hmm. got it all put together. Got my, you know, that to me is a red flag. So
right.
if, you know, you're not really connecting with someone unless they start showing you some of their cracks. It doesn't have to be like some big confessional. Just a little bit of vulnerability. A little bit of like, I'm a little damaged. I'm not broken, but, you know, just got some, you know, little cracks here and there.
Yeah. Yeah. Like no one can have it completely together or like that's just completely phony.
Yeah. So let that just be something to look for.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea. Yeah. Cause I can get so easily swept away by like the show of it, but like, that's not what matters. It's like the being vulnerable. Cause like I definitely can, and I do like share things about myself, obviously. And like, I'm comfortable doing that. But like, if they can't give me anything in return, that could be a red flag for sure.
Yeah. Maybe next time you open up, you like some guy, you want to like, hey, maybe I should just tell him about this STI, but make sure they've told you something first. It's like collateral.
Yeah. 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 I guess I figured,
why open
like,
up to a guy
divorced,
if you're not sure if he's going to open up to you?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Maybe so next time, since you know you're not, maybe you sense that you're pretty good at trying to be vulnerable, open it up, and you're attracted to guys who act so polished, maybe wait for the next time you get excited about showing some of their cracks first.
Okay.
All right.
That's a good idea.
Great. All right. Well, best of luck.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye. I appreciate it. Bye.
Appreciate you listening, guys. As always, don't forget to send in your questions at castmedia.com, cast with a K, for your submissions for Ask Nick Callers. And on Wednesday, Rod Thill is with us. You won't want to miss it.